Hi, I'm Caroline, a yoga teacher with a special interest in menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Claire, a GP with a special interest in menopause based in North London.
Together, we're the Menopause Sisters, and we are here to guide and support you through your menopause journey. Welcome to this second show for UK Health Radio, and today we wanted to cover HRT, hormone replacement therapy. There's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding around HRT. There's also many different forms, and we thought we would begin to unpick and discuss what it is, how it can help potential other alternative.
But also for any of our new listeners who haven't listened to perhaps our first show, talking a bit about what the perimenopause is and the menopause itself and what differentiates the two as well. And hopefully we can go through a few of the common myths that are associated with hormone replacement therapy and clarify things a bit.
Yeah, so I think a lot of women are always surprised to hear that the menopause is actually just one day, aren't they, Claire?
Yeah, exactly. So when we're perimenopausal, you might be having symptoms, but essentially you're still having your periods. They might be irregular, but essentially that's really the difference. You're still having your periods. And then the menopause, like Caroline said, just one day, and then postmenopause is the time after your menopause, after you've been 12 months without a period, and that's the rest of your life, essentially. And so when we're thinking about all of these transitions in our post-reproductive life, we're trying to think about optimizing our health, and we're trying to think about how we can help with the symptoms and making sure we give you good health, I guess, in the long term.
So, shall we discuss briefly what HRT is?
Yeah, so I guess HRT, the basics, what is it? Hormone replacement therapy. And hormone replacement therapy has come a long way since the days of, well, the 60s and 70s, I guess, when hormone replacement therapy used to be made out of pregnant horses' urine, which sounds pretty horrible, but it was, and that was made into a tablet, and that was called Premarin, and we used to use that for many, many years. And it did work very, very successfully. But hormone replacement therapy has come a long way now, and it is a much more natural-based product. It can be a much more natural-based product. And we use it for women who are having perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms because they are lacking their hormones that they would have produced otherwise. And this essentially is because their ovaries are slowing down, not producing as much estrogen and testosterone as they once did. And because of this, you might start to get symptoms associated with the perimenopause. So essentially, hormone replacement therapy is giving back your natural hormones, and we're giving them back in a very low dose, natural and safe way, depending on your preparation. But it really is important, I guess, at the offset, really, to say that HRT is very, very safe. It is individualized to each woman. It's not a one size fits all. So what you might be taking might be different to what your friend is taking, and there's reasons behind that. And that's really, really important because actually we are all different and our hormone need will be different. And frustratingly, I suppose, it's a moving goalpost. So the doses might need to change during your perimenopause and menopause. So you might get to a good dose and then your symptoms might recur. It's not that it's not working, but it's not working as effectively. So we might need to tweak doses and things. But that's why it's individualized. That's why it has to be looked at probably on an annual basis and doses adjusted. So essentially, that's HRT in a nutshell. And I know that there's been a lot of scare stories about HRT in the press and in the past. And actually, I think it's important that we try and debunk some of those because they've done a lot of damage. And we know that HRT is very safe. So one of the studies I'm talking about is the Women's Health Initiative, which was done around 20 years ago. And at the time, I'm sorry to say, it scared a lot of women and doctors off prescribing HRT. I mean, lots of women were immediately overnight taken off their HRT. And that was really scary and really worrying. But at the time, we had a study that suggested that HRT caused breast cancer. We now know that study has been discredited. And it's been discredited by a number of well-established societies, particularly by the British Menopause Society. Subsequent studies have come out saying that HRT is actually very, very safe, and you're probably more likely to get breast cancer if you drink a couple of glasses of wine a night than if you are to take HRT. And we can go through some of those risks and understanding those risks in a bit more detail later on in the show. Like we said in our previous show, actually, it's important to remember that we're not trying to just treat your symptoms now and make you feel better in the here and now. We're trying to do things like protect your bones. And we know that with hormone replacement therapy, replacing your estrogen treats the symptoms we've talked about previously, but also it will improve your long-term health. And you could argue HRT can be started at any point, but started certainly within the 10 years of your last period. We know that it halves the risk of a woman getting heart disease. We know that it prevents and treats osteoporosis, which is when your bones get weaker through lack of estrogen. We know that it can reduce the overall risk of death from all causes, which includes breast cancer deaths. And we know that it may also reduce the risk of dementia and type 2 diabetes as well. So there's lots of positive health implications from taking hormone replacement therapy that perhaps aren't really well discussed, I guess, in the general public.
And here in the UK, what do the NICE guidelines set out for around HRT or treating women for perimenopause, menopause symptoms?
It's a really big document. NG23 is the document. And our NICE guidelines, we should probably mention, are the guidelines that all doctors adhere to in the UK. And they are evidence-based and regulated guidelines which help to guide all doctors about appropriate treatments. And NICE guidelines 23 is very, very clear that hormone replacement therapy can be used to help with symptoms of the menopause and treat and prevent osteoporosis in women. And those symptoms we know are vast. Maybe we should touch on those again, Caroline, and just sort of go through what some of those could be.
Yeah, so we talk about them in physiological and psychological, don't we? We kind of tend to break them down, and then also UTIs and vaginal dryness. So should we run through some of the physiological symptoms to begin with?
Exactly. So these are the ones we think of as happening in our body and giving us a physical symptom. So commonly hot flushes and night sweats, which are just generally a hot flush at night. I always like to think of it like that. The tiredness, the change in period. So that can be a good change or a bad change for you, depending on what you're experiencing. The muscle and joint pains. Palpitations is very, very common. Bloating, a sense of sort of change in your bowel habit, constipation, that sort of thing. And then kind of moving on to your psychological symptoms. So the big one that 60% of women talk about is brain fog and concentration difficulties. You think 60% of women are having that symptom. You know, one in ten, it's just a ridiculous amount of women that are going through this phase in their life that are having difficulties with their memory or feeling like they're losing their mind. And many women worry about dementia at this point, and that's just a direct result of the lack of estrogen. We also think about tiredness and insomnia, because we know estrogen is very, very helpful in regulating our sleep-wake cycle. And mood and panic attacks, that's probably really common as well.
Yeah, a lot of women talk about suddenly getting anxiety or feeling very anxious about situations, or you know, when they're going out, feeling a bit worried or concerned, where it's never been an issue before.
It's really important to keep a track of these symptoms, because if any of these are kind of happening and new for you, and you're around the age of the perimenopause, let's say mid-40s onwards, there are things that you can do. There are things that you can help yourself with, and hormone replacement therapy is just one of those things that can be helpful.
And then moving on to vaginal dryness.
Yeah, so really common, probably the least talked about symptom of the perimenopause and menopause. Probably one of the most taboo things, but most women will get it, and if not treated, it will only get worse. And if we treat it, it will get better. And vaginal dryness is a direct result of the falling levels of oestrogen. So we know oestrogen is a lubricant. We know oestrogen is an anti-inflammatory. So what it does in the vagina is it keeps our vaginal walls very supple. It keeps them lubricated. It helps give some stability, if you like, to the base of the bladder. And so actually when you lose that vaginal oestrogen, you have dryness, you have pain during sexual intercourse, you might have discomfort during your smears, and you may also have these symptoms of urine infections, this irritability, just the sense that you need to pee all the time, or a bit of leakage of urine. And so that can be really easily helped along with hormone replacement therapy, or what we call local vaginal estrogen therapy. So that's something that we will talk about in a bit too.
So there's often in books I've read and people talk about body identical and bioidentical HRT as well. And I think it's really important to bring this up and explain the two different terms, because there's a lot of confusion around this. Mm. Depends on where the book's been written as well, because there's different terminology around the world here. But can you possibly just talk about that and explain the difference between the two?
Yeah, so unfortunately in some parts of the world, bioidentical and body identical are used interchangeably, which can be very confusing. In the UK, what we prescribe is body identical HRT, and essentially that means it is licensed and regulated by our MHRA, so the regulatory authority that licenses all our medicines, and it's evidence-based, so there's a lot of data behind it that backs its use. And body identical is a hormone that is made from yams. So it's very natural, it's plant-based, but it also is very structurally similar to what you would produce naturally anyway. So essentially we're just replacing like for like.
Which is where the name body identical comes
exactly.
from.
Exactly. And it's very well tolerated, and it's less likely to give you any side effects. Although the side effects, to be quite honest, are very rare with body identical hormone. Bioidentical, because I often get confused with my brain fog. I always think of bio, when I say bio, I think of biohazard. So it reminds me of not to say it and not to use it. Bioidentical is not regulated. It's not licensed. Anyone can make up a tub of cream and give it to you and charge you whatever they like. And I really strongly hate it. It's not used by me, certainly by most doctors, because there's no evidence behind it. So when I think of bio, I think of biohazard. But I do understand that there's a lot of interchangeable use of those two terms, which can be confusing. But you always just want to think body identical. Is this body identical? And certainly if you go to any health professional, NHS GP in the UK, they will be using only body identical or a similar type.
Brilliant. Thanks for clarifying that. And I think I know when I started to begin to investigate different forms of HRT and just having an understanding, it took quite a while for that to sink in, because actually many of the books I'd been reading had come out of the United States, and they often use the term bioidentical. So really important to clarify those two terms. So my next question is, if a woman's perhaps investigating the idea of HRT or is going to see their doctor here in the UK, your first point of call would be your GP. And she's thinking, oh, maybe I can get a blood test and just have a look at my hormone levels. Perhaps that'll give me an indicator. Or perhaps a GP offers a blood test.
Yeah.
Why is that a good or not so good idea?
Yeah, so this is a bit of a bone of contention, I guess, because if you are certainly around the age of 45 and have noticed changes to your periods, and this can be any change, so they've got closer together, they're longer, they're shorter, they're heavier, they're lighter, they've stopped a bit, and you're having any of these symptoms we've discussed, anything at all, then your GP or health professional should be able to diagnose you as perimenopausal or menopausal based on those symptoms alone. And the reason for that is because at this time in our lives, the hormones in our blood fluctuate so wildly that we take a blood test and that's a snapshot in one point in time of what our hormones might be doing. And they might actually be normal that day. So it might be a day when they're normal, And we have what we call normal ranges for certain times of the cycle here. And if they're normal, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not perimenopausal, but if you're having symptoms that wildly suggest you're menopausal or perimenopausal, then blood tests are not going to be helpful. So we go on symptoms alone. It's what we call, we diagnose you based on your symptoms. And I think that's really important to know. If you're looking for a blood test, you may get a normal result, but you're still going to have symptoms. Blood tests can be really helpful for women when you're slightly younger and we're thinking of other things and we want to rule it out or rule it in.
We'll continue talking about HRT after the following commercial messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltz know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltz, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltz. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we were talking about blood tests and whether they are a good idea if you're looking at hormone levels and thinking about taking HRT.
And we were saying that, you know, if you're over 40, 42, 43, certainly above the age of 45 and you've got symptoms and your periods are changing, then I would say that you were perimenopausal or menopausal. We use the blood tests for younger women, so under the age of 40, where we're thinking, you know, that there might be something else going on. And then that could be quite a helpful use of a blood test. But certainly above the age of 45, we wouldn't consider. Or we might, but, you know, it's individual. It's not always necessary.
I know when I spoke to my GP, she was quite keen to do a blood test, and I'm 45, but she had wanted to check. She knew I was, I'm a vegetarian, so she'd wanted to check my iron levels.
Yeah.
And she'd wanted to check also just thyroid function as well. So that was something she was keen. And actually, she did name those two things. She said, you know, I'd like to do a blood test because, and that was really helpful to know.
Yeah, and this is by no means, am I saying that it's not, it shouldn't be done. You know, each woman is individual, and that discussion with your health practitioner is vital. And there will be reasons, like you said, Caroline, that you might need other things doing. And actually, that's all part of a good woman's health check. So, you know, it's not a definite no, but I think it's for most of us, we wouldn't be doing those blood tests. We got asked recently about a lady who had a marina coil in. So this is a progesterone coil, which is used for contraception, and her periods had stopped completely. And she asked us, how you might know if you're perimenopausal, if your periods have stopped completely. And I think that's a really good thing to highlight, because it's not just your periods that will change. The marina coil, we know for the majority of women, will stop your periods. So we have to go on other symptoms. A blood test in that respect could be helpful if you're of a certain age, but more often than not, actually, if you're having some of the other symptoms, we can say that you're perimenopausal as well. So blood tests will vary a lot, and they're not always beneficial, essentially.
Yeah, I've got a really good friend, and she's had her marina coil in for about 8 years. And we know the marina coil's licensed as part of HRT for 5 years. So you'd have it changed every 5 years if you were using it as part of your HRT. And so after 8 years, she's suddenly getting quite a lot of perimenopausal symptoms, and she was just saying, oh, I think something started. So it just depends how long you've had it in as well, doesn't it?
It does. I think what we've got to remember with the coil is it's only ever really going to sort of hide your period symptoms. It's not going to hide your physical symptoms. It's just going to sort of mask what your periods might have been doing as well. But I think it's really important, I guess, for those women is to keep a check of your symptoms. So if you can use the Green Climacteric Score, which is a really simple score sheet that goes through all your symptoms and how much they're affecting you day to day, week to week, that can be a really good tracker of what's happening in your cycles as well. So not just your periods, but your other symptoms too.
And where can you find this Climacteric?
So I often just print out a load. I just do a search for it online, and it will come up, and you can actually print that off and take that into your GP or send that to your GP prior to an appointment and just say, this is what I've been looking at, and this is what I'd quite like to discuss. And bear in mind, you may have to have a few appointments with your GP to discuss it, but that's fine. You know, I think it's not something that we would want to rush. We want to talk about it slowly and carefully. So if you can send this information into your GP prior to an appointment, that can be really helpful.
Yeah, I think you can find it also on the British Menopause Society actually website as well. It comes up there, and that's something I had done 3-4 months ago. Actually, I popped a little letter into my GP. I knew I was having an appointment with her. I thought we'd probably only get 10 minutes on the phone, and just listed the symptoms I'd been experiencing over the past 3 years and how they had got, which ones actually had got a little bit more worse and harder to manage. So it can be really helpful just to give that heads up to your GP so they know that you're coming to talk about your perimenopause, menopause symptoms, perhaps coming to talk about the possibility of HRT and your options, and just give them a little bit of background as well. So let's move on to a bit more about the different forms of HRT, hormone replacement therapy. I quite like Lara Bryden's written an interesting book, The Hormone Repair Manual, and she talks about MHT, menopausal hormone therapy. I quite like that term and that terminology, but we obviously call it HRT here in the UK. Yeah. And it takes many different forms, doesn't it? There's different components to the hormones. It's not just estrogen, is it?
No. Okay. So there's lots of different types of hormone replacement therapy. It can come in tablets. It can come in patches. It can come in gels. It can come in sprays. It can come in creams when we talk about the local vaginal estrogen or pessaries. And it can come in the form of the coil, which we've mentioned, the Mirena coil. And I guess the reason I'm saying this is because there's so many different types, and actually the type that you might want to use or your healthcare provider might want to give you depends on you, depends on your family history, depends on your medical history, depends on what medications you might already be on, depends on lots and lots of variable factors, which are obviously all very individual. But essentially, hormone replacement therapy consists of two hormones. So when we think of hormone replacement therapy, we think of the woman first of all, and we say, do you have a uterus? If you have a uterus, if you have your womb still there, you need both estrogen and progesterone. And the reason for that is I like to think of estrogen as the grass growing and progesterone a bit like the lawnmower. It cuts the grass. So estrogen causes the lining of the womb to increase, and progesterone stops it increasing too much, or lets it increase and then lets you have a bleed. So if you've got a uterus, you need both hormones. If you don't have a uterus, you just need estrogen.
So for women that have had a hysterectomy, they don't need the progesterone.
They don't. It depends on their hysterectomy. Again, every woman is individual. You might have had what we call a subtotal hysterectomy, where not all the womb is removed. And then sometimes, depending on that operation, we might consider giving you a progesterone as well. So it is, again, very, very individual. But essentially, yes, if you don't have a womb, you take estrogen only. The preparation that I think most commonly prescribed, what I most commonly prescribe at the moment, is what we were talking about earlier, is body identical estrogen and micronized progesterone. So this is an estrogen that comes in a gel or a patch, and the gel you apply daily, and the patch you change twice a week, and progesterone, which you take as a capsule in the mouth. And both are very, very body identical, so closely matching what you produce otherwise. And they're really well tolerated. They are what they've got really good, strong evidence base behind them as being the most breast friendly and the most safe in terms of hormone replacement therapy.
And that's because they're taken transdermally, isn't it? And we'll define transdermal, that's through the skin. And why is that a safer method for delivering HRT?
So we know that estrogen can taken orally. What estrogen does is it can promote the liver to produce our clotting enzymes. And our clotting enzymes are the things in our blood that make our blood sticky. So when our blood gets more sticky, it's more prone to clot. And the clot can lead to problems such as blood clots and deep vein thrombosis, for example. I would say, though, that that risk is very, very low, even with oral estrogens. And so there are many women that can take an oral estrogen absolutely fine with no problems. And again, going back to individualizing treatment, it is perfectly safe to do that. But with the body identical gel, which you apply through the skin transdermally, it avoids the liver altogether. So it avoids triggering that clotting cascade, and it just goes straight into the fat cells and goes into where it's needed. So it's a really good option for women who've had a history of blood clots, or for history of women who've for women who've had a history of migraines, for example, because we know it's a safer form and a safer way of taking it for them.
And actually, the different forms of estrogen, the spray, the gel, the patch, also often just depends on how much you're taking, doesn't it? Because if you're just taking 1 milligram as such, a gel might be okay. But if you're taking a higher dose, that can be just a little bit awkward to rub more gel in.
Yeah, exactly. It's preference. So with the gel, one pump is probably the size of a broad bean. And so if you're having 4 to 6 pumps of that, it's also perfectly fine to be putting that on, but it's the volume that you're putting on every day, which could get a bit messy and a bit annoying. So you might want to switch to a patch, which you stick on twice a week. So there are lots of options out there, all of which should be discussed with your healthcare provider, because what works for me might not work for you.
And you mentioned the tablets, the micronized progesterone, which you can take, which is body identical. So the closest form to what we would normally produce. And that's for women that do have a womb, a uterus. Yeah. And you mentioned micronized progesterone and tablet form. So that's body identical progesterone for women who have a womb, have a uterus. But we know that the Marina Coil can also be used as part of HRT as well. And the Marina Coil's tiny. I'm always surprised at how small it actually is.
But I'm shocked by how tiny it is when we pull it out in our workshops, aren't they? It's about a centimetre long, really, isn't it? Probably not even that. So this is a really good option if you're having heavy, irregular, unpredictable bleeding. Because what the Marina Coil has in it is a progesterone, and that is released into the lining of the womb every day for 5 years. So not only does it act as a contraceptive, which is brilliant, because don't forget, in the perimenopause you're still technically fertile, so if you don't want to conceive, you should be thinking about contraception. So not only is it a contraceptive, but actually once it's in the uterus, so once it's been inserted and placed, it can act as the progesterone component of your HRT for up to 5 years. And that's brilliant, because then you only need to take estrogen. And often it's the estrogen that causes the estrogen fluctuations that cause many of our symptoms. So that can be quite helpful, and then stop your periods, which is always a joy for some women.
And at this point, I wanted to introduce testosterone, because it's another hormone we do produce as women.
Yeah, and testosterone is really important, and it's really important to know that we produce probably 3 to 4 times the amount of testosterone from our ovaries as we do estrogen, but it's forgotten about, and it's not often thought of as part of hormone replacement therapy because we don't have a licensed preparation, certainly in the UK, for testosterone to give to women. But for women who are still experiencing brain fog, fatigue, lack of libido, sort of cognitive difficulties, even after taking estrogen for a few months, then testosterone can be really helpful in addition to your hormone replacement therapy. And it can also help to kind of resolve some of those issues. And it comes in a cream or a gel, and it can be applied, depending on your preparation, just to the outer thigh once a day or twice a week, depending on which one you're using. And it can really help. It can be really, really helpful. So it's worth just bearing that in mind.
And which symptoms would testosterone in particular help? So we know that you would start with estrogen and progesterone if you have a womb. But after 3 to 6 months, if you're still getting particular symptoms, is there a point at which you might consider testosterone?
So for me as a GP, I think testosterone is really important in helping to contribute to women's libido and sexual arousal. We know that libido in women is really complicated. It's not just down to hormones. We know there's probably 1,000 different things that are in play when it comes to a woman's libido. But certainly around the time of the perimenopause, we know there's a dip in women's libido. So testosterone can be really helpful for that. It can also be helpful to reach orgasm in women by increasing our dopamine levels in the brain. And it can also help with just normal metabolic function. So we're thinking of just normal body processes, muscle and bone strength, urogenital health. So kind of keeping, it can help as an adjunct as well to vaginal symptoms. And don't forget mood and cognitive function. We talked about brain fog at the beginning, and we talked about concentration and memory difficulties. Sometimes women who are on a typical hormone replacement therapy regime, so estrogen and progesterone, they still have these symptoms sort of 3 to 6 months later. And, you know, adding a tiny bit of testosterone can really help. I would caveat that with the fact that it isn't the easiest medication to get in the UK because it isn't licensed for women here, but most NHS menopause clinics will have that on their armoury of things to prescribe. So if you feel like you're struggling with your symptoms, you know, your GP may feel confident in prescribing it, but it is something that might need to come from a NHS menopause clinic.
We'll come back to HRT after the following messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we were just talking about the different elements of HRT, estrogen and progesterone for women who have a uterus, have a womb, and then potentially testosterone if some symptoms are still arising. So there's three parts there. And for many women, I think we don't realise we produce testosterone, do we? And actually, it's a bit of a eye-opener when you find out about that. You got a brilliant jumper recently, Claire, didn't you? You were telling me that about.
I did. I got a, well, it's my T-shirt, which my husband doesn't necessarily want me to wear, that says in massive letters, testosterone, not just for boys. So I walk around with that on at work.
That's brilliant.
Get some shop looks, but, you know, I think it's important to remember this because, you know, actually what's really irritating is that Viagra used to be for erectile dysfunction prescribed by GPs, and you under the NHS, you're allowed one tablet a week. So you're allowed to get an erection once a week under the NHS. You could only have four a month, and that was on a private prescription. And that was really set in stone. And that was only a few years ago. And then suddenly we were told, oh, no, you can prescribe as much as you like. Doesn't matter, prescribe as much as you like. And we're like, okay, fine. So men went about and they could have as many erections as they could. And then actually around four or five years ago, it's now available over the counter. You don't need a prescription for it anymore. So men can get their Viagra and their extra testosterone over the counter. Whereas women who are having these perimenopausal and menopausal symptoms can't get their natural hormone back. And it is just that. And it's not just about libido. Yes, we all want a better sex life, but it's not just about libido. It's about giving people, giving women their brains back. So whilst we're very jokey about it, actually, I guess there's a darker side to that in that we need to be lobbying for this to be part of routine care for women, and getting it to women who need it.
I often joke that you do not want to upset a menopausal woman.
No.
And actually, when we get something between our teeth, we get a bit angry, don't we? We try and do things about it as well. I'm based in Edinburgh, as lots of you, many of you will know. And up here at the moment, it's quite hard to get utrogestin, which is the tablet form of micronized progesterone. And so I've been campaigning here with NHS Lothian to try and get access to that, because I think all women should have access to one of the safest forms of progesterone. And so actually, going back to what you were just saying about Viagra and testosterone, as women, we need to shout about it. And we feel very privileged to have a voice here, particularly on UK Health Radio, but a voice we're both really happy to use, you with your testosterone t-shirt and me just shouting about things that just feel a little unfair. And so that's moving on actually to some of the other potential treatments, because we've talked a lot about HRT and we'll come back to it, but there are other things that can help. And I know personally for me, I'm 45 and my symptoms began around the age of 40. I had been managing it through what I eat, my diet. I had reduced sugar intake quite hard because I've got a very sweet tooth, like our mother, actually. And so I had reduced caffeine. I'm down to one coffee a day, and thought about very much increasing vegetables, which is really, really, really helpful in a diet. But also, we know acupuncture can help many women. We know cognitive behavioral therapy can help women. We know herbal medicines that can help women, and we'll talk more about those in future episodes. But here in the UK, really worth, if you're looking at herbal medicines and herbal remedies, to look out for the THR logo. That's the traditional herbal registration mark, and it just means it conforms to safety standards here in the UK. So it's been tested, and safe. And if you are looking at herbal medicines and things like acupuncture, really worth discussing with your healthcare professional or GP if you are on any other medication or have any other health concerns. But something, as many of you know, I use yoga, and I have been using yoga for the last 25 years, but I think that's possibly and potentially why my symptoms were not severe for quite a while, actually, because I could use meditation, breath work and movement to really, really help to alleviate many of those symptoms. So I wanted to bring that up because actually for many women, they decide they don't want to take HRT. They want to do it. Some women talk about a natural way, a natural approach. We've mentioned that HRT is made from yam. So in theory, it's natural, it's body identical. But for many women, they decide they don't want to take HRT. And just knowing a little bit more about some other options is really, really, really important. We had a woman recently that had been on the combined pill, didn't we, Claire? And came off it. She was, I think she was 52, 53. And she'd come off it thinking, gosh, I've been on this for quite a while as part of my contraception. Maybe I should come off it. And after 2 to 3 weeks, she suddenly had really bad aches and pains and wasn't sleeping. And I thought that was quite interesting because actually, you know, she'd been using a form of hormone therapy to manage her contraceptive options. But why would that have happened?
Well, I think there's that interesting in a number of ways. Firstly, the combined pill is obviously a contraceptive. So we're using it in really high doses to prevent the pregnancy, and it's a synthetic hormone. So actually the combined pill probably over the course of your lifetime is less safe than HRT in a way, but it is still very, very safe. And it's all about getting those relative risks in kind of, I guess, in check. And so the combined pill has got estrogen and progesterone in it. And in the UK, and certainly from the Royal Colleges of Obstetrics and Gynaecology, we like to try and reduce or stop women on the combined pill when they reach the age of 50, because what we find is the risks of taking it at that point in your life outweigh the benefits. So actually most women will be coming off it, and that's when they might find that their symptoms recur, because actually what they've done is they've taken away the estrogen, essentially, and it's the estrogen that is supplementing them and giving them some respite from their menopausal symptoms. So when you remove that, and you know, as a woman of the age of 52 or 53, she's most likely going to have been menopausal, those menopausal symptoms will return and will show their cells again, or show their cells for the first time, perhaps when they might not have done if you've been on the pill.
So we often talk about the menopause being a whole body experience as well, don't we? As every cell in a woman's body contains an estrogen receptor. And I think that's something we like to talk about quite a lot because of all the many symptoms that women experience. And I know we mentioned at the beginning of this episode some of the symptoms, but some of the other symptoms that women talk about is tinnitus, and that's something you just would not at all equate to a perimenopausal menopause symptom necessarily, is it?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it's about acknowledging the menopause and the perimenopause as a whole body experience so that you can keep track of every little subtle change that might be happening, because sometimes they are subtle. So things like tinnitus suddenly coming on, or dry hair or dry eyes, you know, that's top to toe symptoms, and keeping a check in them, because, you know, those traditional symptoms that we all hear about, hot flushes and night sweats, well, many women, probably a third of women won't have those. So if you're relying on that, then I think that it's probably not a reliable way to keep a check on your menopausal symptoms. So I think, you know, having a way to track these is really helpful. I know, Caroline, you use a certain app, don't you, that tracks everything, and you can download your data and send it off to your GP. What's that you use?
Oh yeah, I use the Balance app, and it's great actually. It's free to download, and it's like everything in life, it's one more thing to do. I don't always have time to fill in the details, but actually it's quite easy just to go into the app and just log your symptoms. And what you do is you highlight your key symptoms. You might find that every now and again you add another one to that list, and it asks you to kind of almost rate them or just highlight them, and it means it logs it, and it's something you can print out and, as you say, send to your GP or share with your healthcare professional. I did used to have, and I still do actually have, a little notebook and pen by my bed and that's because I always forget things. But for those, particularly with insomnia, that can be really, really helpful. It's just something you're thinking about. Sometimes writing it down can help to allow your mind to rest for a moment. So you could list symptoms like that at the end of the day. You could just get into bed and take a moment to write down some of the symptoms for the day, along with anything else that's come up, if you'd like to. And that can be really helpful as well. So it doesn't have to be an app. You know, we've talked about the green climate track. I can never say that, Claire. You're going to have to say it.
Yeah, we talk about the green climacteric score as being one of the ways to monitor your symptoms. But the Balance app is equally as good. And actually, if it's on your phone and you can quickly kind of go into it and add a symptom, it can be quite quick. But as Karen said, you know, you do have to sort of give yourself some time and allow yourself to time to do that.
And so I also wanted to mention a game changer for me. I felt like all my Christmases had come at once when I got some vaginal estrogen. And that's actually something that I started with. Yes, it was brilliant. I'd had an appointment with my GP. It's probably about 3 or 4 months ago now. And I'd been managing my symptoms really well through nutrition, diet, yoga. But certain things had started to creep in or just get a little bit louder. And I wasn't very happy about it. So I had decided to speak to her about HRT. And one of the symptoms that had begun to creep in was this kind of feeling of almost like I was about to get cystitis. And actually at certain points in my cycle, a feeling of almost about to get thrush. And it was getting really uncomfortable. And it was it hadn't got out of control. It wasn't changing my life, but it was making me feel uncomfortable. And making me irritable. Actually, it was adding to my meno rage. And I got some vaginal estrogen, and that has made a massive, massive difference. And I got the form of a little pessary with an applicator. It almost, if you can imagine a tampon with an applicator, that's a bit like how it looks like. It's not as big as that. It's much smaller. But actually, it's very, very, very easy to use. It also comes in a form of just pessaries, doesn't it, Claire?
As it comes in pessaries. You can also get it as a cream, which you can use with an applicator. And some women find that they're actually too sore to use the applicator. So what I say to them is just have a pea-sized amount on the tip of your finger and rub it around your vulva and just the vaginal opening for a few days first. And then gradually with your finger go higher and higher. Because actually, you don't forget, you know, if you're using this later on, you're... It can be incredibly sore to use an applicator, but yes, there's lots of different forms, and vaginal estrogen is a brilliant adjunct to hormone replacement therapy that can be safely used together effectively. And there's no reason for you not to use vaginal estrogen going forward forever and ever. You know, again, it's just individualized. It is a treatment that is very, very safe and evidence-based. So yes, that's a bit of a game changer for women as well.
And is it something you could just use on your own, on its own? I mean, you wouldn't necessarily, if you just wanted vaginal oestrogen, could you just have vaginal oestrogen?
Yeah, providing there's no risks, there's nothing else in your history to not use it. Yeah, there's a lot of women that use it. And actually, even with certain women who've had past histories of breast cancer can use it as well very, very safely. But, you know, again, individualised after discussion with other healthcare providers, it's something that's definitely worth keeping in your back of your mind. I think we should probably mention, Caroline, kind of how, why we're so, you know, we spoke at the beginning about hormone replacement therapy treating your symptoms, but why are we so keen on hormone replacement therapy, and what will it help? Because we know that it's going to help your symptoms immediately, we know it's going to help the symptoms you're having at this point in time, so your hot flush and your night sweats, for example, but what else?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I had gone to the GP to talk about, you know, brain fog, my frozen shoulder, aches and pains in the morning. You know, I wake up and I feel like I can't move. I feel like I've run a marathon. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I don't like running. I just do yoga. So, and I was just starting to get quite irritated. I was like, you know, my whole body hurts. So, you know, there's the immediate symptoms of things like that that I was looking to address. I'm thankful at the moment. I'm not getting hot flushes or night sweats. Then maybe they'll appear at some point. But I think, again, just to reiterate, every woman is different. And actually, this was about my symptoms and what I was trying to help. And actually, I'm 2 weeks into HRT. I like to name that and put my hand up and say, yes, I'm giving it a go. A little bit of estrogen gel and the eutrogestin progesterone tablet, micronized progesterone tablet. So we'll keep you updated, or I'll keep you updated on my progress and how that goes. And something I want to reiterate again, actually, is just say that you've got to give it 3 to 6 months. And it's a bit of a kind of backwards and forwards potentially to your GP, because you may find that the initial prescription and what you're using is not quite enough, or it's too much, or it needs to be adjusted in some way. And so it's early days for me. I feel like I'm after just 2.5 weeks feeling a little bit better with some estrogen gel, actually. I can't put my finger on it. I'm still getting my aches and pains a bit. I'm still getting my brain fog, but there's something, it's almost like my mood has lifted just a tiny, tiny bit. And I feel like I've got a little bit more energy. So it could be psychological at this point, because it's such an early stage, but that's where I am at. But something I had really looked into, and really stood out for me and spoke loudly to me was osteoporosis and heart health. And for me, I was like, right, okay, you know, I have been a vegetarian since the age of 14, so I feel like I've really looked after my diet. I was very aware at a young age about, you know, calcium and making sure I got iron levels okay through my diet. But what I hadn't contemplated moving forwards and in my older years was the thought of my bones crumbling a little bit, and the idea of heart health, because actually I think as women we think of heart disease not always being a female issue. We think of it often in older men, I think. So that was something that occurred to me. And do you want to talk a little bit about how HRT can help, particularly with those two elements?
Yeah, so we know that before the menopause, so pre-menopause, estrogen is very, very helpful in helping the formation of new bone. So old bone is taken away, new bone is formed. And actually that's quite a synergistic process, but often the new bone formation just slightly outstrips the old bone. So actually you've got a really good bone production essentially premenopausally. Postmenopausally, when you don't have the estrogen, actually what we find is that bone destruction far outweighs new bone formation, if there is any new bone formation at all. So essentially what that means is that the density of your bones decrease quite significantly postmenopausally with the lack of estrogen. And that puts you at risk of just, you know, falling over and breaking a bone, whereas you might have fallen over before and not broken a bone. So we want to try and prevent bone breakages postmenopausally, because actually we know the more risk, the mortality or morbidity from falling over and breaking a bone is quite significant. So estrogen helps to keep our bones strong. It helps to keep them healthy. And we know that taking hormone replacement therapy can help to prevent and in some cases reverse that bone loss. And so that's actually even the case for women taking very low doses of hormone replacement therapy. So that can be a really helpful long-term view of hormone replacement therapy. So we're not just thinking about in our 50s and 60s, but we're trying to get you to your 80s and 90s. And it will reduce the risk of bone fractures as well. But then importantly, you mentioned the heart health. We know that estrogen is anti-inflammatory, and we know that it helps to keep our blood vessels supple and healthy. So fluctuating levels can cause damage actually on our blood vessels. And so heart disease is more common postmenopausally. And there is some evidence out there suggesting that hormone replacement therapy can reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease. So obviously that's a great benefit, particularly if you start it within 10 years of your menopause. So it's really, really helpful. But also overall, I think hormone replacement therapy reduces your risks of other diseases just because it's keeping you healthy in other ways. It's keeping you more active because you have that get up and go that perhaps you weren't having before. So I think I'm a massive advocate, as you know, Caroline. I know not everybody will be, but I would really plead that you have these discussions with your healthcare providers, at least be fully informed before you make that decision. Do your research, keep your symptoms in check, and then decide for yourself.
And so to sum up, HRT, you need the progesterone if you have a uterus or a womb. So HRT is estrogen and progesterone for women who have wombs. If you don't have a womb or you've had a partial hysterectomy, you just need estrogen. Testosterone might be an option, but actually it's not licensed in the UK. So that's something that might be looked at if your symptoms are still debilitating after you've been on HRT, the estrogen and potentially progesterone for a little while.
My top tips were, you know, HRT is licensed, it's evidence-based, it doesn't delay your menopause. If you're going to have menopausal symptoms after stopping HRT, you probably would have had them beforehand. I'd say a big plea, keep a check in your symptoms, look at the Balance app, you know, make sure you're monitoring all your symptoms so that actually you can speak to your healthcare provider and have that conversation about weighing up the risks and benefits for you in terms of taking or not taking hormone replacement therapy. Oh, and don't forget vaginal estrogen.
Yeah, I won't forget that because that's been a game changer. And we'll talk more about vaginas soon, I think, as well. We often say that, don't we? We use that word regularly because it's really important to make sure it's in our vocabulary and there's no taboos attached. So thank you for listening to us today. We look forward to sharing more around menopause and perimenopause in the weeks to come.